quality control is what Brian asked me to talk about tonight, and quality control not only applies to the AI industry, it also applies to the beef industry. And you can think of quality control as a matter of mindset. Is it a cost or is it an investment? And what's all this stuff? It's not clicking. So what do I do? There have been several quality control opportunities over the last several years, and we have seen these crop up in the paper from time to time. Things go bad, and more often than not, the QC people take the blame. I'm no different than that around Select Sires. When somebody doesn't get the conception rate they want, you know, I'm the one to blame and take the heat for it and try to solve the problem. So several of these things come down in various and sundry industries, and they became really significant a couple of years ago when Toyota took a big hit. And they started out with one problem, and the president comes out and says, "I'm so sorry," and the next problem with brake pedals and transmissions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the quality control still continues to make headlines today with that group. What I don't want to see with our business is Brian having to say, "I'm so sorry," nor do I want to see any unhappy customers out there, you know, because they didn't get the job done. So with that in mind, the Select Sires straw production philosophy is, when in doubt, throw it out. As Brian said, I've thrown away more semen, but I got to calculating that over the 43 years that I've been around there, we have produced about 250 million straws, primarily Holstein, but we have a few Angus that are pretty good. And in that process, I've thrown away over 30 million straws, and that's probably more than a lot of bull studs in the world produce. So that is a significant number, as he pointed out. So therefore, I got the moniker by a previous boss of mine of Dr. Discard, and therefore I have to, you know, wear that burden the rest of my life, I suppose. I'll probably put it on my tombstone if I have one of them. So, getting back to the subject, who in an organization is responsible for quality control? The answer to the question at our place is we all are, from the guy who shovels the manure to the CEO who is in the center of that picture up there. Everybody is in charge of quality control, because each aspect of what we do, not only with the genetics but also the semen production, from the people who collect the bulls to transport the bulls, to collect the semen, to process it, to handle it before it goes out the door, are all responsible for quality control, because it is a perishable product. And, you know, we understand that we have to keep it as good as it can so that when you get it, it will do the job. So in any organization or industry, there are several types of watchdogs and of watching the quality control process, and who they are is dependent on the company and also the industry. For instance, in our place, one of the things I do is discard a lot of semen, as I said, but also I said other people are responsible for other things. You can go into an ISO 9001, 2, 3, or 4, whatever, and it does a pretty good job of establishing a set quality control program, but it is expensive and it does take a lot of time. So in the case of the AI industry in the United States, most of which are cooperatives, most of them were started as cooperatives. There are a few private ones, but most of them are co-ops. We're trying to save the customer a buck, and so we have done that ourselves in the form of NAB CSS. But if you don't have any of the above do the work, the government is always willing to step in and do the quality control right regulations for you. And this is the way it is most everywhere else in the world. We are lucky that we have NAB CSS because we can take science that comes out today and apply it tomorrow. And you get into some government things, it takes forever to change something that is based on science. Now, NAB CSS came about because one of the three most famous lies. No, it wasn't that one. One of them was a check was in the mail. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And the third most famous lie is I only want to use semen in my own herd. Many of our custom collectors hear that on a daily basis, and this is the reason why we have standards within NAB and CSS. NAB started out as an industry trade social group, more or less, but then CSS, Certified Semen Services, was formed in the 60s to start a self-regulatory program so that we could do things ourselves. Listed here are sire health, sire management, semen disease control, semen evaluation, and guidelines. And I'll cover a few of those. AI Sire Health is an industry standard QC effort. Pre-entry health testing is done on the farm before bulls come to the any facility. TB, Brucella testing is done. Lepto, BVD. And, of course, a physical exam is usually done on the farm of origin. The bull gets put on a truck, brought to our isolation health testing facilities, and where a minimum of 60-day isolation occurs, and bulls are tested for various and sundry things again. TB, Brucella, lepto, five types of lepto, campy up to six times, and trichomoniasis, and BVD. So these things are routine for any bull that comes into any CSS facility. And take them to a resident herd, then they have to go through semi-annual health testing again, twice a year at least, for the same thing all over again and again. And then that doesn't count all the special export disease testing that we have to do for the various and sundry countries who have these things on their list. It's a fairly substantial bill that gets run up every year, but it's all in the price of doing business. And if you want to stay in business, you got to do these things. But it's part of the quality control program. Sire management includes travel, housing, making sure bulls are in a good environment where they can produce lots of high quality semen. Water and feed is very important. We have problems from time to time with moldy feed, and these are issues that we have to work through every now and then and make sure we take the tops off the silos well before they lots of silage off the top because it's moldy and get down to the good stuff because it does adversely affect semen quality and if it adversely affects semen quality, then I have to throw it away and the marketing people don't like me anymore. So anyhow, bedding and comfort is important, as is waste disposal. Sire management or body condition score is something that we have to be concerned with, especially with beef bulls. We can't have them be too fat in the barns because the semen or the testicles will not cool properly, especially on a day like today where it's about 90 degrees and about 90% humidity in Plain City, Ohio. If bulls are too fat, the semen quality will start to deteriorate, and because the bulls cannot cool their testicles. So if you have a fat bull, you got a problem, and this is something that Brian and I have to deal with all the time. Hygiene control is something that we deal with on a daily basis. You have to have clean bulls being worked under clean conditions and clean evaluation labs, processing, and so forth. Quality control in identification is important because there's all sorts of ways you can screw up the identity of semen in a processing program from the time that that bull is collected to the initial evaluation through sex sorting in today's world. That's even more tedious than traditional processing. That's where semen can get screwed up with putting the wrong semen in the wrong straws. Straw printing is done in our place with bull's name, registration number, barn number, date, and we're putting now the bull number and the freeze date on in a freeze in a barcode, as you see here, that someday will be useful on the farm. We're using it in the lab to identify semen and make our life there more easier. Straw filling is something that we have to do when we line up extended semen in bags like this and make sure that the straws, the empty straws behind them are lined up. Somebody, one person lines those up, another person checks it, and the third person then goes ahead and fills the straws. So that is the tedious process, especially when you're running through somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 collections a day. And but it has to be done. If you don't do it, you're going to run into problems sooner or later. When we rack straws for freezing and then caning, we have to be very diligent because with the numbers the way they are, it's very, very easy to transcribe numbers, and we do that from time to time, but because we're not perfect, so we have to keep that in mind. One of the things we have to be careful about is our extender ingredients and the quality that they are when we get them. In there's a couple organizations, ours included, that uses whole milk as an extender, and we just buy that from the dairy. A local dairy that's fresh, 3.25% fat. Other companies use eggs, sugars, and salts in their extenders. And we have to QC those things when we make them, because if they're not made properly, a gallon of extender is 4,000 milliliters, that's about 8,000 straws down the drain if you don't make it right. So you have to check it with for pH, osmolarity, and other components. And you have to make sure that the preparation chronology is correct, because it's just like baking a cake. Any good chef will tell you, there's a certain order of putting ingredients in the mixing bowl and mixing them up. And if you screw that up, you're in trouble. So, semen is no different. Our antibiotics, we have to make sure that those are QC'd. We have procedures to QC those antibiotics, and the making or the preparation of those antibiotics, again, have to go through a certain chronology. And, of course, they have to have certain you can't get too much or too little. If they're too little, they're not effective. If there's too much, you'll kill sperm cells with antibiotics. Antibiotics are indeed toxic, but you have to have them in there. So we put them in. We put enough in there to take care of the bacteria of question, the pathogenic bacteria, but not so much that you're going to kill cells. So we all have to add the semen antibiotics to the semen, raw semen, and then we add it to the extenders as well. Of course, in the processing QC, you've probably seen this before, but we do volume, cell numbers, viability, morphology, and somebody has to make a determination of how many cells we put in the straw. That's usually my call, and it comes up on a computer. But the people in the lab have the responsibility of looking at each collection, and if it doesn't meet their standards, they can raise the cell numbers per dose. And that's their option, and we give them the freedom to do that. So, again, extender addition chronology is important. All right, one of the things we have to do from time to time is to do a quality assurance program, and that's to make sure that all of the equipment that we use is calibrated properly, and because we use a lot of it. We have about a half a dozen balances in our lab that we have to QC every so often. We have to do all our thermal baths that we have, all the temperature blocks where we hold semen, to make sure these are set properly and to make sure that they're not that they're all run, because if you get semen too hot, you'll cook it, which is not good. If you get it too cold, sperm cells tend to swim in circles. That's not good either. So we have to have this quality assurance program where we check all the equipment from time to time. We check all our osmolarity and pH meters on the same regularity. What did I do here? And the balances we have. We have about a dozen hygiene is where we test the water that we use in the materials we use, and we also check air quality to make sure that everything's work right. And we also have a machinery to test to see that all our spectrophotometers are calibrated correctly. And this has to be done by somebody on a periodic basis, and we do it. There's no question. It just takes a lot of time. So pre-freeze semen quality traits are done, as you've seen before, as are post-freeze semen quality traits. From motility, we incubate semen for 3 hours and look at it again for motility estimates. We do morphology, differential counts, count 100 cells and classify them into different types of abnormals. And if it falls below a standard, it gets chucked. One of the things we started doing a couple years ago was using some new technology that I had hoped to have many years ago, but it was dadgum expensive. I couldn't afford it, but finally we went ahead and got one. This is a flow cytometer. This device looks at about 5,000 cells per second and is very, very accurate in doing what it does. We currently use a system to measure cell membrane integrity, and that's indicative of good quality, and sperm DNA integrity. If the DNA in a sperm cell is not healthy, if there's some fragmentation of that DNA, the sperm cell could get into an egg and it just would not go to term. So, you know, we do all of those tests on a routine basis with the semen that comes through our lab. And one last thing that we do is because of the newer technologies that are available to us. Excuse me, I got a case of shipping fever the other day. I went down to Blacksburg and picked up this shipping fever about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't got over it yet. So anyhow, one of the things I said, as I said, we started doing sire identity. In other words, we send the straws off to a lab in Nebraska, and they can tell us that answer the question, is the semen in that straw, what's written on the side of it? And we do that for our sexed semen. We haven't started doing that yet for all the conventional semen, but that's on my bucket list. I have several things on my bucket list that Brian didn't elaborate on, and that's one of them, and we'll get that done one of these days. So going back to the original purpose of artificial insemination is to provide highly fertile semen of high genetic valuables and enhance productivity, profitability of their offspring. So what that boils down to is, how can we extend the semen as far as we can but maintain good fertility on the average out there in the world? So one of the things that NABCSS has done in the last year is come up with a system for the participating members to guideline system, whereby when a bull starts out as a young sire with no information on him, we put lots of cells in a dose, and as you learn a little bit about his semen quality from a few collections, you can start reducing the number of cells per dose, and it gets down to a point where You don't want to go much below that until you got fertility data. And there is fertility data out there showing that you can go to some fairly small cell numbers, but you don't want to do it all the time until you get really reliable fertility and lots of data points. If in a case of evaluation of sire fertility, I won't look at a bull unless he has about 500 services under his belt, and I don't believe it until he has about 1,000 services that somebody's telling me about. So this is what we have to do in evaluating sire fertility. Once there's all sorts of fertility information of a bull, if the need is there to reduce his cell numbers per straw, and he has above average fertility, then yeah, you can drop cell numbers to some fairly low numbers. Each bull is different. You have to know the bulls. You have to know what his semen quality is, and you have to know what the fertility is, and then you can make those judgments. And as we all know, there's semen that is used with the sexed semen only has 2 million cells per straw in it. And that's where we have to process semen to be the most, make the most efficient use of the process. Yet we have to suffer a little bit in fertility. It's not all, the reduction in fertility with sex semen is not all cell numbers. In fact, most of it is, the reduction is not cell numbers. It's just running semen through a sorter and dyeing the sperm cells as we have to do. And as it stands, with lots of services on lots of bulls, sex semen in our lab is running about 85% of conventional. So infertility. So that's just a little piece of information there. But it is what it is, and it's something we have to live with until a new technology comes along so that we can do something better. So YQC, one is to eliminate garbage, one is to predict fertility rankings, and the third is it so that Dr. Discard can sleep better at night. So the utility in ranking bulls for fertility has grown over the years as we have gone from a post-thaw motility estimate to some of these other ones I talked about earlier. As we learn more and more about semen, we can better predict the accuracy of ranking bulls. We're not perfect. We probably never will be in terms of ranking bulls based on semen quality traits. But there are other ones which are going to come along after I'm dead and gone. And so hopefully some of these students here will be able to develop some of them, because we're always looking for new ways to evaluate semen that will give us a better estimate of what that bull is going to do on the farm. So the fertility ranking of bulls is the ultimate quality control. With dairy bulls, we have access in our lab to three different sources. One is our own, which is relative breeding efficiency. That's data coming from our progeny test herds where we get information on a bull. ATA is a regional processing center in California. And SCR is the USDA sire conception rate, which dairy people live by. And, of course, some bulls die by. And this is, in today's dairy world, that's a lot of what goes into the price of a bull. And this is all based on a plus or minus zero. It's modeled to, take into consideration how much cows are milking who are bred to bulls, what lactation are in, what's the season, what region of the country they're in. So these are all adjusted and so forth, and it creates a ranking of bulls of plus or minus zero. Bulls, dairy bulls range from probably about plus four to about minus six, where you get 90% of them and or more. So a bull like this Moscow has, their numbers vary a little bit, but they all relate to each other. And one thing that is on my bucket list that I would like to see is have the beef bowls have some kind of a ranking system, because generally what we have today is four of them. One is hearsay, one is innuendo, swag estimates, and gripe factor. Joe says this bull's gonna does this. Innuendo is that his daddy was such and such. Swag estimates where the people are betting on it. And of course the gripe factor is that I hear about is this bull really sucks. And so this is generally our beef bull fertility ranking system. So my message to you tonight, if there's any way possible to add some discussion to the meetings in the next couple of days, if you wish to do something useful, in my opinion, you're doing a lot of other things useful, I see by the program, is to create a beef bull fertility ranking system so that people like yourself have a better handle on where bulls rank, and so we can do a better job to provide people like yourselves with better semen. And there's nothing more fun than seeing customers with a smile on their face. Thank you.